here we go. Hey, welcome back. Haven't had a call yet today. Getting a little lonely here at the station, 541-388-1110. Just want you to know we're live and we're indoors, but I can appreciate it. You're out there on this Veterans Day having a wonderful day. Probably on your way up to the Veterans Ranch to buy some plants, and we really appreciate your support. So, hey, there's some interesting stuff going on. I'm going to throw something kind of fun out there right now, which is pretty interesting. So you've probably been hearing all the, there's some things in the news right now that I think I want to hit on just a little bit. You've been hearing a lot about all this AI deal, you know, artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is going to come in, it's going to steal your brain. I don't know if they're going to suck it out of your head with a straw or what's going to happen, but it seems to be really, really an awkward thing. Well, in the exciting world of real estate, now, excuse me to my brothers and sisters out there that are in real estate, but, you know, there was a new service that came out for real estate agents to write your remarks for the listing. That's that stuff that says that it's light and bright and airy and has a gourmet kitchen and all of that sort of stuff. Well, you know, with all of the sensitivity on words, the diversity, equity, and inclusion, you know, we're told weekly words that we can't use. You know, you can't use family room anymore, and you can't use master bedroom anymore, and you can't use man door anymore. So, you know, there's all these words that are getting taken out of our vocabulary. So now the answer is to have artificial intelligence write your descriptions for your properties. And this is a new service. Well, I'm sorry, I'm still old school. I still have a pencil with an eraser, so I think it's kind of laughable. But anyway, we're moving in that direction. But the way that AI has been touching us a little bit that we maybe have not been accustomed or realized that it was actually happening is like in Photoshop. And in Photoshop, where you have photos and you know, you left the hose and the sprinkler in the front yard, and they wanted to remove the hose and sprinkler out of the front yard for the picture before they advertise it. Well, that too is an application of artificial intelligence. So now comes, as we use these different things, either in writing or in visual aids, what about those people that are going to look for some form of protection, some copyright protection or whatever? At which time, as you use artificial intelligence, are you still able to copyright the text, even though it was your text and your input that you put in, but you had it refined with the computer enhancement? Or does it suddenly then not become copyrightable? And sort of the same thing with photographs, where people have photographs and they take the photograph, or they do take the artwork, and then it's manipulated with some different filters and that sort of thing and used in another application. Does the person that took the original photograph still have the ability to copyright? I mean, it's kind of an interesting question. And, you know, when it comes down to human authorship, you know, what is, you know, where is the line? Where does it happen? So, you know, one of the examples that was given is, let's say that there's a structural crack in the wall in a house and you take the picture of it. And you decide to remove the crack from the picture. Well, now, in the Board of Ethics, as a real estate broker, that's against the ethic rules, because you're basically hiding known maladies of the property, and you shouldn't be doing that. But however, if you're removing the hose and the sprinkler from the front yard, is that a manipulation that you should or shouldn't do? It's kind of the same thing, but different. Anyway, it's kind of an interesting deal. You know, when I first started in real estate, you know, you weren't allowed to, you know, still not allowed to exaggerate in that. The term they used for it was called puffing, and you could puff by either overstating the benefits or minimizing or omitting the detriments of a property. So, you know, it's allowed it to be manipulated. So, you know, when there's Article 2 of the Board of Realtors and all that sort of thing. So, always review, if you're going to use AI, always review the stuff that was generated by it so that the content is accurate. Don't use AI to create content if you want to copyright it and you want it to be your product. It's just, it's going to take some court cases and take some interesting things to do it. And then if you... if you're going to use somebody else's material, always get permission before you use it or alter it or do something along that line in all things. But it's kind of interesting to see, you know, all of a sudden the lines get blurred on so many different things with all of the advent of technology and all of that as it's rolling forward. Another one that's been in the news lately is the debt ceiling. Well, I can assure you this is going to get wound up even more between now and June 1st. And, you know, it's kind of like Chicken Little, the sky's falling, you know, money's going to fall apart, we're upside down, we're going to default. First and foremost, the United States has never defaulted. We've been in this situation three times in recent history, and every single time, woe and behold, at the last minute, you know, they come up, give themselves a get-out-of-jail-free card, and we don't default. So where you're hearing all this fear and all this sense of urgency that you need to do these things, that the world as you know it is about ready to fall apart, and as one person said, you know, these guys in Washington, D.C. have the survival antics of rats and cockroaches. You know, they're going to survive. They're going to make it work out all right. And, you know, as we look forward, pretty much the prognostication is that the market, the real estate market, is going to continue to heat up a little bit, and we're going to continue to see some rates, some relief on our rates to get some of that activity going. So when it comes to real estate and all of this, the sky is falling and all of that sort of thing's doing, you know, take a couple of Tums, go for a walk along the river and allow it to blow over, because by June 4th, we'll be on to something else at that point in time. You don't really need to worry about it too much. Another article that was kind of interesting that I read this week, which is interesting because right now we're in a really changing time, and I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, how to preserve your property as an asset, because with most of us that own real estate, our real estate is our largest asset, and it's one of those things that we need to preserve and need to keep it in good. So if we hear all these stories of bank failing and all that sort of thing, you know, how do we preserve ourselves and what can we do? That's really, really important. But when you get into this privacy and money deal, it was kind of interesting. It's another one of those things that falls along generational lines. And obviously, boomers, you know, you can't pry any financial information out of them. They don't tell you about their costs. They don't tell you about what they're doing or any of that sort of thing. And at the other end of it, the Gen Z people, 62% of them would rather let you look at their financial stuff than read their emails. I thought that was kind of an interesting contrast. But this is one of those times where, like right now, for instance, some of the different banking institutions are offering upward of 5% guaranteed money, insured, no risk. And if you're just sort of quietly allowing your money to sit at passbook savings in any number of, you know, banks or credit unions, it's probably drawing less than 1%. And in many cases, you know, 0.5%. It's drawing absolutely nothing. And by giving that a little bit of attention and talking to somebody about your money and about your finances and about your things, you can probably start to move that around. Because the thing that for years there was no payment on your passbook savings. You weren't going to get any interest on it. So people just don't even consider that. And for those of us that don't talk about our financial information, our spending habits or our investment habits or any of that sort of thing, and share it with people that are close to us, we're just sort of quietly sitting there and being, you know, being used, if you will. And it came up with 60% of people paid bank fees this last year. Well, you don't really have to pay bank fees. 30% of people actually had overdrafts on their checking accounts. Well, whatever you were getting on your savings account was well offset by the $100 that you paid in miscellaneous bank fees. So basically, you let your money sit there for free, and without talking to somebody about it and seeing what's out there, you can actually find that there's some different opportunities for you. And it said here, get this for information. You know, 39% of people today get information, financial information, off of Facebook. Then after that, it goes to TikTok, Instagram, Reddit, and then finally Twitter, or where people go. I mean, it's like, wow, I mean, what happened? Why wouldn't you go to a financial consultant or go at least make the rounds? You know, go to a couple of credit unions, a couple of different banks, and say, you know, hey, what's the most favorable savings program that you have, where I can get a reasonable return? And it, you know, might be in your best interest, and you might be pleasantly surprised. So I thought that was pretty fun. So I got the debt ceiling, got that. We're about ready to take a break here in a minute. Let's see if I can sneak something else in. We're going to talk about strategies. Well, you know, the National Association of Realtors is out there doing it for you again, and I just can't say this enough. When it comes to private property rights, taxation, and a number of the different issues that affect private property ownership, honestly, the Realtor Association are the only people that show up. We go back to Washington, D.C. to give testimony. We go to Salem to give testimony. They go right here to our own city council and county commissioners to give testimony and try to meet it. They don't necessarily win every single time, but without the Association of Realtors, nobody even shows up. This stuff just sort of gets implemented. The cost gets passed on, and nobody shows up to offer any resistance to it. So Kenny Parcell, who is the National Association president, was at Capitol Hill this last Wednesday and gave testimony. The Federal Housing Finance Association had their new loan level pricing adjustment. Now, there's two things that are sort of running in parallel, and I mentioned it last week. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is that, you know, these additional fees just put undue pressure on those who want to pursue the American dream. And it's at a time where there's limited inventory, money and expenses are high, and then for the feds to kind of get in there and start shuffling around the expense and making it even more expensive for loans, it's just not the right time to implement those policies, and particularly quietly as it's being done. It's sort of being done in a backdoor approach, and basically what it's doing is just putting more and more barriers up there. And the things that we could do is we could offer some incentives to, you know, there's going to be, with all this work at home stuff and all this, you know, you can see the writing on the wall. A lot of these commercial buildings aren't going to be filled with people in there doing business anymore. So what can we do with that? Well, one of the things we could do is we could transform some of that into residential living spaces and to offer some incentives for people to take existing buildings and create more living units in it might be a good place to do that. And allow, instead of every time we mention the word affordable housing, making it to where it's a government entity, allowing that there's some private partnership and private funding that can actually get involved in creating affordable homes and make that more possible, and incentivizing more and more owners to sell their property by restructuring the capital gains. The problem with a lot of the capital gains exemption is people have got, they've owned a property for a number of years, and whatever they've got is subject to a fair amount of taxes. So there's ways that we could, with existing things in place, we could actually have some positive impact on the market, on supplying homes and making it more affordable for more and more people to be able to afford those homes. And again, you know, Kenny Parcell is back there on Capitol Hill this last Wednesday, applauding them because last week they've abandoned the new policy they were going to implement August 1st, which was basically going to make it more expensive for people that had higher loan-to-value loans. So there was an additional fee that was going to be put on it. So let's get this right. The people that are having the hardest time making a house payment and are willing to stretch their finances to be able to buy it are the ones that should also pay additional fees for doing that. I mean, it just seems like it's a little contrary. So anyway, they abandoned that one. That one's not going to be implemented. But there's still the one on the table right now that they're trying to implement, which is the basically, if you have a good credit score or you're putting 20% or more down, you should pay an additional fee. So there's people over there that don't have that, and you should supplement their loans for some reason. But I don't know if that one's going to get uprooted or not, but at least the Association of Realtors are back there representing private property ownership and trying to at least give a dissenting vote on some of this stuff. So whatever the policy is, at least it has input from two different sides, and hopefully they'll make good decisions and good policy. So when we come back, what are we going to do? We're going to kind of talk a little bit about, you know, maintaining your home as an asset. You know, that's a real important thing, and with absolutely all of us, particularly as property owners, it may very well be the biggest savings account that we have. So what can we do to preserve that? What can we do to have it perform properly for us? Remember, the number at the station here is 541-388-1110. Anytime you can contact my website, askfredjohnson.com. Have any questions about the show, any critiques of the show, any topics you would like to have discussed or any of that, I'd really appreciate that opportunity. We're getting the market trend report out here this week. If you're not receiving the market trend report, you can go to my website and request it. You just scroll down on any one of the pages. It says check the little box there that says market trend report, and also check the box that says I'm not a robot, and we'll get that right out to you. And I want to thank you again for tuning in to Ask Fred Johnson here on FM News 100 1110 KBND.